Pistons, your daily Detroit Pistons podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello and welcome to the Tuesday episode of the Locked On Pistons podcast, a daily look at the Detroit Pistons. My name is Matt Shook and I'm your host. You can follow me on Twitter at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, and then another underscore after that, and also follow the Locked On Pistons Twitter feed at Locked On Pistons as well. Excuse my voice today, feeling under the weather, as I know many of you are too in the Midwest. Getting the cold, the winter season is coming upon us, and I did some traveling this weekend home to Michigan as well, so that probably didn't help matters in the airplanes as well. But the Detroit Pistons are 14-12 and going through by far the most traumatizing stretch of the season for fans and possibly the players as well. Sitting in a six-game losing streak, and we'll try to break that tonight against the Denver Nuggets at Little Caesars Arena in downtown Detroit, which now I'm calling the most important game of the season. We're going to take a look at the power rankings to kind of see where the national pundits are putting the Pistons after this tough stretch, and we're going to take an in-depth look at those Denver Nuggets who will be without probably their two best players in this game. So good news for the Pistons there, and good news for listeners of the podcast. It's almost Draft Wednesday coming up very soon this week. Tomorrow probably as you're listening to this. Draft.com and the Draft app is the place to be. We're going to have the Locked On Pistons contest. So go ahead and sign up on Draft.com and the Draft app for a daily fantasy basketball contest. It's a quick draft. Takes under 5 minutes. And you can draft all the players you want. And follow me on the app at Matt Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H. And when you sign up, use promo code L-O Pistons, and you can get $3 added to whatever you load up into that account. But I wanted to kind of get a gauge of what the national pundits are saying about the Pistons, and one way to do that is on Monday, a lot of the national websites have the power rankings that ESPN, I believe, was the first ones to put out, but now we got NBA.com, ESPN.com, CBSSports.com, SI.com, SportingNews.com, and also USAToday.com. So I put all these together, and as far as the power rankings for the Pistons coming into this the week, so from last week's rankings, they were an average of a position of 7.4 on the list. So the 7th or 8th best team, genuinely was the 7th or 8th best team in every one of these rankings. And now they have slipped to an average of 13.2. And not only that, but in the Eastern Conference, they're averaging, as far as Eastern Conference teams on these lists, 7.2 there. So barely in the playoffs. I know that standings and power rankings are two very different things. But to say that this Pistons team is basically now the 7th best team in the Eastern Conference in the eyes of these national pundits and the 13th best team in the NBA. We talked a little bit about these power rankings at the very beginning of the season, but at that time it was a little tough to gauge because some of these power rankings are more of at the early of the season were more of a projection of how the teams might finish with a lot of the preseason prognostications built in. But some of them were using just the fast starts of the teams, like the Memphis Grizzlies, if you remember, the first couple weeks had a great start to the season. They've since fallen off a cliff since then. The Orlando Magic, the Pistons as well, are some of the other teams that were at the top of some of the power rankings, but then maybe near the middle or towards the bottom of some of the power rankings, depending on which team. So now, but now that we're into December, middle of December, we're kind of leveling to that point where, you know, you're no longer using just preseason prognostications. There's a pretty well body of work out there to suggest that teams are what they are at this point. And what are the Pistons? They're 14-12. They had a great start to the season. They were 10-3, and they were 14-8. Kind of the talk of the NBA after knocking off the Thunder and the Celtics and then coming home and taking care of business against the Phoenix Suns. And since then, they've had six tough games. They've been in most of those six games, but they've lost all six of those games. So they're going to need to bounce back with a big win on Tuesday night against the Denver Nuggets. Now, the reason I feel like this is the most important game of the season right now is just because you got a Denver team that's coming in that's ripe to get blown out. You've got a Pistons team that should be hungry. You've got a fan base that needs a win right now. And then you've got a string of games that you should take care of business in. And this is maybe one of the tougher opponents of the next seven or eight games, which is hard to believe because Denver is not very good right now. But this is at least a team that's in the playoff hunt in the Western Conference. They're a playoff team right now. And they're a team that is projected to be there. They got some very talented players in the backcourt, despite the injuries on the front court right now. And there's just a sometimes you just need to win ball games, and this is one of those times because, like I said, the fans need it. Stan Van Gundy, if you listen to his press conference after the game on Sunday, he feels like his players need it. And it's just about that time. They need to take care of business and get back on the winning side. And like I said, this is a Denver Nuggets team that is ripe for a beatdown right now, coming on a tough road trip, some tough injuries, some tough losses recently, went overtime on Sunday. And we're going to talk a little bit more about them here in a minute. But if your company is interested in men between the ages of 18 and 44, then your company should be sponsoring this podcast. Locked On Pistons is listened to by 98% men and 80% between the ages of 18 to 44. So if you want men 18 to 44, this is your spot. Plus, our rates are reasonable. Email me at Matt_Shook, S-C-H-O-C-H, to find out more.
Yes, sir!
Now, here's all you need to know about the Denver Nuggets heading into tonight's 7 o'clock game at Little Caesars Arena against the Pistons in downtown Detroit at Little Caesars Arena. The Pistons and Nuggets have identical 14-12 records coming in, and the Nuggets are pretty much the same team the Nuggets always are. And we'll go back in history a little bit later in the podcast to talk about the trivia question that you need to know if you are a Pistons fan from way back in the day. The Nuggets, however, this year, they're 8th in the NBA as far as offensive rating and 24th in the NBA as far as defensive rating. So pretty consistent with what they've pretty much always been as an organization going back all those years to the George Karl Carmelo Anthony era. You had the Dikembe Mutombo era back when he started off in the league. Just any era that you can think of with the Denver Nuggets, you can think of a team that scores a lot of points but doesn't do a very good job of making stops. The Pistons are favored by 7 points, so despite the six-game losing streak that's got some of you fans out there ready to jump off the building, the Vegas experts seem to still side with the Pistons, although maybe that's more of a slight at where the Nuggets are at right now with some of their injuries. But this will be the 5th game of a 6-game roadie for the Denver Nuggets, who are 1-3 on the trip so far for Coach Michael Malone. And that includes the Sunday loss they had in overtime against the Indiana Pacers, where Victor Oladipo just went off against them for a career-high 47 points. Who, by the way, Oladipo making his all-star bid. And I've disrespected the Pacers a little bit this year. I mentioned on Twitter that they might be the team that's in the Eastern Conference playoff picture right now that might drop out of there. I don't know. We'll see. They're all kind of a hot team right now, and the Pistons are going to see them twice in the next 2 weeks. So those are kind of one of those red-letter games that you have to keep an eye on. But Nikola Jokic, the Joker, he's not going to be playing in the game tonight for the Pistons. If you're a Pistons fan, you're happy about that if you need to win, but if you're an NBA fan, you want to see the Joker play as much as possible. He's a crafty guy, a second-round pick who's turned himself into a star and could make his first All-Star appearance this year as well. He has missed the last 5 games, and the team actually announced on Monday that he will not be playing on Tuesday night. He's got an ankle sprain, and he will be out for the game. And Michael Malone's already got his other best frontcourt player out for an extended period of time as well, as Paul Millsap, their big free agent acquisition, who played with Atlanta recently and Utah before that. He has a broken wrist, and he's going to be out for a couple more months. He's already been out for a few weeks for the Nuggets as well. In their stead, stepping up off the bench so far during this road trip has been Trey Lyles, the former Kentucky guy, who was a nice early pickup, I believe 11th or 12th in the draft by the Utah Jazz, and had 2 disappointing seasons for Quinn Snyder there. And he's been traded in the offseason. He was packaged with a pick by Utah to move up in the first round, where the pick ended up being Donovan Mitchell right after the Pistons selected Luke Kennard. So, you know, another frustrating trade there if you're a Denver Nuggets fan that could have gotten Donovan Mitchell, as he's lighting up scoreboards and playing really off really well right now, kind of the hot name as far as NBA rookies right now. But Trey Lyles finally stepping up, finally playing pretty well. He's been scoring in double figures in this road trip and had a career high 25 points on Sunday night on the road in Indiana. Locally, the state of Michigan will be represented in this game by the Nuggets. Wilson Chandler of Benton Harbor is a kind of a do-everything starter for the Nuggets, and they also start Gary Harris in the backcourt, the Michigan State player from Indianapolis. So Gary Harris is a fine scorer and will be home against the Pistons on Tuesday night. So some of the bench players are guys you've heard of: Emmanuel Mude, who was the high school player who came out and played 1 year in China before getting drafted. He's kind of had a little bit of a disappointing start to his career. with Denver and not the talent that maybe they thought they were drafting a few years back. But he's coming off the bench and an explosive possible scorer. I'm interested to see this team. And Kenneth Faried, the manimal, he's kind of slowing down in his as his career kind of winds down. You know, he's always been a rebounder and a defender in the mold of Ben Wallace. And we saw as Pistons fans, when Ben Wallace lost a step or two, it kind of went away pretty quickly. And Kenneth Faried is not the player he was when he, I believe he was on one of those Olympic teams or maybe World Championship teams a few years back. And was one of those players, kind of like Tayshaun Prince back then too, that was like, really? That guy's on the USA Olympic team? That was kind of surprising back then. A player that I like that comes off the bench for them is Malik Beasley. When I was down in the Virgin Islands covering the Paradise Jam every year back then when I was a smarter man living down in the Virgin Islands opposed to the Midwest. Beasley came in with Dwayne Bacon at Florida State. Those guys were freshmen on that team, and they came in and scored a lot of points down on St. Thomas at the University of the Virgin Islands. So, but this team, the Nuggets, they're tired, they're injured, they're struggling, and they're really ripe for a Pistons blowout. I just think that the way that they've been playing lately, the injuries that they've had, the young players that they have, they're ripe to be knocked out early in the game, and I think the Pistons are going to be hungry for that. Kind of along the same lines of the Clippers and the Memphis Grizzlies, the Nuggets have had enough injuries and enough disappointing showings for a couple of their players this year that they've been a disappointment. They're still in that Western Conference playoff picture, and this is more so about those Clippers and Grizzlies that have had enough injuries that their seasons are kind of broken now, and they're going to be irrelevant probably the rest of the year. I think the Western Conference has been really knocked down a peg by some of these teams, with Denver included in that group, that if you look at it as a whole, and the Golden State Warriors and the Houston Rockets and the San Antonio Spurs certainly move the needle when you're talking about whatever criteria you want to talk about when comparing the conferences, but the Eastern Conference is not the push, certainly not the pushover that it once was when comparing the conferences, and you could make a case that as far as quality teams, amount of total quality teams, the Eastern Conference might even edge out the Western Conference right now. But the Nuggets, at another 14-12, it's a little bit counterfeit compared to the Pistons 14-12. They've kind of been taking care of some bad teams and not beating any good ones. They're 2-7 against teams above 500, while the Pistons are 7-11. So that tells you that the Pistons have been playing a lot more good teams and also beating a lot more good teams as well. So kudos to the Pistons for that, and they'll have a chance to prove if they're better than Denver tonight. But Denver's always one of those teams that I really enjoy watching. They don't end up on national TV a lot, so unless you're a hoops head, you don't get to check out this team a lot. And like I said, it is kind of a shame that Jokic isn't going to play. He's a guy that NBA Twitter and NBA diehards have already long found out about, but just the highlight tapes. Go on YouTube and look up some of the passes that he's come up with. When you think about the strides that Andre Drummond has made with his assists from the high post, I mean, this guy, Jokic, he's like the crown prince of that. He's the guy who is the most crafty big man that we've seen in a long time, and we've seen that from a lot of European guys in the past as well. Arvidas Sabonis comes to mind as far as a guy that uses his size to scan the court and makes a lot of crafty decisions there too. But we're going to go way back and talk about what was the quintessential Denver Nuggets game that the Pistons played against them many, many years back, about 34 years ago, actually, almost to this date. And if you're a Pistons fan, if you're a real Pistons fan, you need to know about this game and be able to recite some of these stats and recite some of these moments, and it'll be a good conversation at the bar. Not with any ladies, but probably a good conversation with your fellow sports nuts and your fellow Detroit sports nuts, too. Well, let's do a little history lesson here on Locked On Pistons. This is your host, Matt Shook, and I've got the trivia question, barroom conversation that you need to know about getting ready for Tuesday night's game against the Denver Nuggets. Now, Wednesday is actually going to be the 34th anniversary of a trivia question, a footnote in NBA history that you need to know about if you are a Pistons fan, as December 13th, 1983, from McNichols Arena in Denver, Colorado, the Nuggets and the Pistons played in what was the highest scoring regular season game, well, highest scoring game in NBA history. The Pistons got the win on the road, 186-184 in triple overtime. Now, I don't remember what the context was, if I was sick from school or one of those days, or maybe I was home on break from college or something like that. But I did watch this game on NBA TV one time. They did a little throwback of it. This game had it all if you were a fan of offense. They set the record for the highest, like I said, the highest, most points combined. And also the teams combined for 142 field goals, which was a record. Again, this is before the three-point shot. So you can imagine how many buckets. These guys were just getting bucket after bucket. The teams combined for 93 total assists. And four players scored at least 40 points in the game. Kiki Vandeweghe led all scorers with 51 points. That was a career high for him. And Isaiah Thomas, who I think this was his rookie year with the Pistons, maybe his second year, he had 47 points. John Long of UAD, he had 41 for the Pistons. Kelly Trepiuka had 35 points as well. Vandeweghe had 51. Alex English had 47. Dan Issel had 28 as well. Just an unbelievable performance, not defensively, but a strong performance offensively. I wonder if the Pistons, you know, used some of the lessons from that one and kind of said, man, we got to kind of shore up some of this offense a little bit, as we're, or the defense a little bit, as we've got the offense, but we're not getting it done on the defensive end. That was the 83-84 team. Chuck Daly was coaching back then. Jack McCloskey had put that roster together. Lambeer was already on the team. Vinnie Johnson was already on that team. Walker Russell, who had a kid who played high school basketball at Rochester at the same time that I was in high school. Isaiah Thomas, Kelly Trepiuka, Terry Tyler of UAD as well. So two UAD Titans, and John Long and Terry Tyler, that were on that team. And then actually a third with Earl Curtin as well. And then, you know, just a walk down memory lane as the Pistons ended up going 49-33 that season. Maybe that's kind of the season that you compare to this one, if you're a Pistons fan looking at the upward trajectory of the Bad Boys era. And then, as I talked about, maybe the Jerry Stackhouse, Rick Carlisle team is the comparison for this year's team, if you're looking at the going to work era. And then maybe this year's team could be the next level, the next time of Pistons championship basketball. And that is a ways away. It's several transactions away and several ups and downs away from now. But if you're a hopeful Pistons fan, you got to believe that maybe this is the time for that. But we're going to have a full recap on Wednesday's podcast of the Tuesday game with the Nuggets and the Pistons. No telling if that will mean that they'll be threatening that 186-184 record of 370 total points from December 13th, 1983. And that, by the way, 337 is the second place. And that was also a triple overtime game from 1982, too. So it's not like that 370 points that is getting threatened by a couple other games or anything like that. And with good reason. As 370 points, I mean, there's some playoff games between the Pacers and the Pistons. They would have needed 3 days to get 370 points. So an unbelievable night. And if you get a chance to check it out ever, if you see it on NBA TV, let me know. And maybe we'll alert the fans that if you want to watch some offensive basketball, it was the night for you. But if you were a fan of defense, it would be pretty much straight offensive to you. So we're going to have a full recap on Wednesday's game. And we'll see if the Pistons can get off the schneid and get their first win after dropping six in a row lately to some pretty tough teams. So, like I said, I'm predicting a blowout win and getting back on track as they roll into the Christmas holiday with a lot easier of a schedule. But this is your host, Matt Shook, and I want to thank you for listening to Locked On Pistons. Have a good day, everyone. Thanks a lot.